Do you love your friends and family members? If you do, then Pastor Al Pittman says you should demonstrate that love through prayer.
Prayer is a matter of love. And I think one of the reasons why many of us, if we're honest, why we don't spend a lot of time in prayer is that prayer is work. Prayer is labor. It's laborious. But Paul says, I want you to labor for me. I want you to strive with me because out of the love of the Spirit of God in you to strive with me. Prayer is a labor. Yes, indeed it is. But it's a labor of love. It's a labor of love.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. I guess when you break prayer down to its bare essence, what we're doing is talking with God. But as with so many other parts of our relationship with God, there is a right way and a wrong way to pray. Do you know the difference? Too many people have the wrong motivation when they pray. Should we be trying to get God to see things our way? Or should it be the other way around? Here's Pastor Al.
Today we're talking about the second part of the message that I began last week called the Ministry of Faith. And we talked about there's two aspects of the ministry of faith that Paul speaks about here. There are many. The first one was benevolence. We talked about that last week. The second one is prayer. It takes faith to pray for others. And Paul here is exhorting the church here to engage in a ministry of prayer for himself. Prayer is essential to the church. And so we're going to look at prayer today. In verses 30 to 33, Paul writes in verse 30, he says, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the Lord, the God of peace be with you all." And Paul ends with amen. The Apostle Paul believed in the power of prayer. You know, it's a topic the devil doesn't want the people of God to hear about, but we're going to talk about prayer a little bit this morning. Now, there's a lot that you can say about prayer, but I want to share with you from the context of Scripture, of what Paul is saying here within those three short verses. There's a lot that we could say. I mean, we could teach a series on prayer, but looking at it from Paul's perspective here, what is Paul asking for here? What is he asking the church to do? Prayer is essential, and Paul, again, believed in the power of prayer. But boy, I tell you, in our lives as Christians, it's one of the most neglected aspects of our Christian living. Prayer. We talk about it. We love to talk about it. We like to hear messages on it. But, you know, the doing of it is something that seems to be missing from the life of a lot of believers. The great preacher E.M. Bounds once said, he said, "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer." Close quote. We need people of prayer, people who still believe in the power of prayer. Now, I'm going to make a comment here, and I'm not trying to make people mad, but it's just an observation. But first and foremost, let me say that I am so grateful to live in a country whereby we can voice our opinions and we can hold to account those that we have elected to political office. Amen? And I know that's wonderful. And I thank God that we have the freedom to do that. But I thought the other day as I was watching another town hall meeting, I thought, would to God that as many people would show up for a prayer meeting as are showing up across this country at town hall meetings. Now, prayer is one of those topics that any preacher can preach on and make everybody in the place feel guilty. That's not the purpose of this message. But it is a fact that when you call a prayer meeting, so few people are interested. God wants us to be a people who not just talk about prayer and preach about prayer, but we believe in the power of prayer. Paul believed in the power of prayer. It's something that the church desperately needs. And Paul solicits the prayer of the saints, and this is his motivation. He says, "I beg you, brethren, through the love of the Spirit, through the love of the Spirit. Prayer is a matter of love. And I think one of the reasons why many of us, if we're honest, why we don't spend a lot of time in prayer is that prayer is work. Prayer is labor. It's laborious. But Paul says, I want you to labor for me. I want you to strive with me because out of the love of the Spirit of God in you, to strive with me. Prayer is a labor. Yes, indeed it is. But it's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. Now, the Greek word for, but Paul uses the phrase here in verse 30 where it says, strive together. Amen? Strive together with me. It's from the Greek word, and I'm going to try to say it in this long Greek word, synagonizomai. Synagonizomai, it means to struggle in company with. It's the word, it actually is two Greek words, soon, which denotes union, and then agonizomai, where we get our English word agonize, which means to struggle, to compete for a prize. Many of us are familiar with the Denver Broncos, amen. This is a Denver Bronco church. But God is gracious, so we allow the Raiders in, amen. And some of the Raider fans and you Cowboy fans, amen, God bless you. Well, we saw one of the players on the Denver Broncos team the other day who did not want to strive together with the team. And the result was that he was suspended. In order to win the game, a team has to strive together. We have to labor together. We have to work together. And prayer is like that. Paul says it's a striving together, a striving. People who are ready to quit the team because they're not getting paid enough or acknowledged enough or things aren't going their way. Those kind of people are not people who are willing to labor in love. Are you with me? Did you get that? I didn't want to mention the Denver Bronco player's name, but some of you saw the video. They threw him passes. He batted them away. People were jogging and running. He was walking, you know, had an attitude, kicking the balls, you know, just a whole attitude. He wasn't on the team because he wasn't willing to strive with them. And he said, you're not willing to strive. You're suspended. And you cannot be a part of a living organism called the body of Jesus Christ and not be willing to strive with people in love. Amen. I think that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, strive together with me. I don't think Paul was perfect. But he says, strive with me. Help me to struggle, to compete for the prize. To strive together, to struggle together is not a matter of convenience. It's a matter of sacrificial love. It's not saying, hey, I'll pray for you. You never pray. But to strive together, to actually pray for one another. Now, this is what I find is interesting in our text about Paul, is that what I find interesting here is that There are three reasons for Paul's prayer request. And those three reasons right up front are deliverance and service and joy. We see that in verses 31 and 32. There are three prayer requests there. But what's interesting to me is that Paul's prayer requests have less to do with Rome, because remember, Paul really wanted to get to Rome. Verse 24 says that, I hope to see you guys in Rome. That was Paul's hope. He didn't say, I know God's going to bring me to Rome. He just said, I hope to see you. It was a hope that he had within his bosom. But his prayer requests have less to do with getting to Rome than it does to do with his relationship with God. I hope you see that. Less to do with Rome than more to do with his relationship with God. You know, a lot of times we will give God a prayer request, and you know, and our relationship with God hinges on that prayer request, whether God gives us what we want or gets us where we need to be or whatever. And if God doesn't do that, then we have a problem with the Lord. Paul wanted to go to Rome, but his prayer request here has more to do with his relationship with God. He wants to live a life that is pleasing to the Father. You see, Paul could have said, strive together with me in prayers so that I can get to Rome, man. I've been wanting to go to Rome for a long time. We see that in verse 24. I want to come, man. He looks forward to seeing them. And of course, we know Paul did get to Rome. He did get to Rome. He arrived in Rome as a prisoner and all. He could have said, pray for me so that I can accomplish what I want to do. And a lot of our prayers are like that. Are they not? I'm guilty. Pray for me. This is what I want to do. Pray for me that we get that house, man. Pray, you know. And there's nothing wrong to pray that way, but sometimes it's like, okay, the deal didn't go through. Walk around depressed for a week. Don't want to pray. Don't want to call out to God because we're upset. because we allowed the deal or the thing or the issue or whatever we wanted to get between us and our relationship with God. Are you with me? The relationship has to be more important than Rome. You see, Paul was a man who was spirit-led, not need-driven. And God knows that we have needs. Jesus said he knows that you have needs even before you ask. But what else did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. All the other things to be added. Are you need-driven or are you spirit-led? Are you more interested in your relationship with Jesus or the stuff you need Jesus to give you? Paul was more interested in his relationship with God. You see, people, places, and things, if they become the focus of our prayers, the central focus of our prayers, we are in danger of missing the true significance of prayer, which is to know God and to be known by God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's why we pray. And we seek to know him. And that, Lord, is at the center of everything and everything else around that. Our wants and our desires and all that. Lord, I hope to do these things, but more than anything, I want to have you.
That should be the one overriding desire of every Christian's heart. Lord, I want you. Thank you again for listening to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. We're all about sharing the gospel with the entire world. Would you pray about partnering with us financially to help accomplish that goal? To join our support team, please give us a call at 844-221-3363 or visit our website at cwccs.org. We have some exciting news to share. We have officially launched our new podcast called Uncuffed. You can find our Uncuffed podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. So make sure you subscribe to the Uncuffed podcast today. And I'm delighted to say The Dwelling Place is on oneplace.com. You can hear these daily programs via the oneplace.com app on your mobile devices. Now let's return to Pastor Al's message in Romans 15 as we see the way Paul prayed for others.
Paul's first prayer request, let's look at this. And the reason we want to go through these, I mean, obviously because it's in the text, but another thing that we need to look at is this prayer request is a great prayer request or way to pray, rather, for one another within the church. And the first thing Paul asked him to pray for is for deliverance. Pray for my deliverance. Verse 31, he says that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. Pray for me. Strive together for me. Guys, love me enough to pray for me so that I can be delivered from those in Judea. Now, the Judaizers, they were called back in Paul's day, were those who often stirred up things against the Apostle Paul. They didn't like the fact that Paul not only was preaching, you know, delivering the word of God, but he was also, or preaching the gospel, but he was also and exalting Christ, I might add, but he's also taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And boy, they had a real problem with that. They had a real problem with that. And so they would stir up trouble for Paul. And of course, it was prophesied to Paul that if Paul, when Jesus called him to ministry, he said, in every city or town you go into, you're going to be persecuted for my sake. Well, how would you like that call in the Lord? You know, he didn't say in every city and town you go to, you're going to have favor with the mayor or with the governor or what have you. And you're going to be able to build this nice building for me and structure and people are going to love you and you're going to be on the radio and it's going to just be wonderful, Paul. That's the kind of call most of us like to answer. Amen, Lord. But Paul's call was, Paul, in every place you go, you're going to be persecuted. Wow. Thanks a lot, Lord. And he was. And one of the reasons was because of the Judaizers who would come and stir up things against the Apostle Paul. So he's asking him, you know, he's praying for protection from the plotting, if you will, of his enemies, those who would stir up trouble against him. But Paul knew that he could not defeat his enemies apart from the power of prayer. Great lesson there for us. Apart from the power of prayer, pray for one another. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Amen. We don't war according to the flesh. The arm of man, the wrath of man, rather, the Bible says, does not accomplish the righteousness of God. God has a whole different way of going about accomplishing his righteousness than we think. We need to remember that as people of the kingdom of God. We don't war according to the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare, why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in what? In God. for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. It's hard to make a stand for Jesus if we're walking in disobedience, in other words. There's a great lesson in Paul's example here in saying, hey, pray for me that I'd be delivered from my enemies. The great lesson here for us is that if you're heading up any kind of a ministry or in charge of any kind of ministry and all, and you don't have a group of people praying for you on a regular basis, you're setting yourself up for failure. Well, I know how to do this. I got a college degree in this, and I know how to do this, and I've done this in other churches, and I know what I'm doing. That's always a dangerous place to be in. Paul, the apostle Paul, saw Jesus on the road to Damascus and all that. And you know, God used mightily to magnify his name through the Apostle Paul. Could have come to a place where he thought, you know what, I've been doing the apostle thing for a while. I know what I'm doing. No big deal. You know, I don't need your help. Hey, just, if you want to pray, go ahead. But I don't really need it. I know what I'm doing. He didn't do that. He wasn't that proud. He didn't have that attitude. He said, I need your prayers because I know the enemy that I face is a fierce foe. He's no respecter of person. He will take me out. I need your prayers. Prayers help undergird ministry. It helps to strengthen us and to deliver us from the schemes of the enemy. I thank God that every Thursday for years now, we have a group of sisters, a group of intercessors who meet here at the church and pray for this pastor and for this fellowship. They pray specifically. People have wanted to come into the group and bring in other things, and they said, no, that's not what we do here. We pray for our pastor. We pray for the staff. We pray for this church. We pray for Calvary Worship Center. I thank God that the underpinning of this ministry is the power of prayer. And I thank God for many of you who pray for me and my family, for Norma and for this ministry all the time. Thank you for your prayers. We cannot make it without your prayers. Our enemy is too crafty. We can't handle him. He will defeat us without the power of prayer. So Paul is soliciting the prayer. Prayer opens our eyes for us to see that we are indeed victors. And Paul needed to be reminded of that himself, that I'm a victor in Christ, not a victim. It opens our eyes to that reality, because sometimes we're unaware of the fact of who our God really is. We're in a crisis or a situation, but prayer enables us to sort of recalibrate our faith and realize that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I want you to turn to 2 Kings, if you will, chapter 6. And that great story of Elijah and his servant Gehazi, and how the Syrians had sent down an army to surround Elijah, the little town that he was in, and they were coming against Elijah. Early one morning, Gehazi comes out. His servant, the servant of Elijah, comes out, and he sees this Syrian army, Syrian forces surrounding the town, and he panics. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. Verse 15, and says, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Amen. We don't know what to do when our eyes are focused on the wrong things. But he says, so he answered, he said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Amen. Right now, some of you need to hear that. That those who are with you is more than those who are against you. Whatever report you've gotten from the doctor, whatever thing you may be going through, the one who is with you is greater than that which is against you. And then he goes on here and says, verse 17, and Elijah prayed. Oh, my goodness, look at that. He prayed and he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. May God open our eyes. And that's what prayer does. It opens our eyes so that we can see. Lord, opens his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Amen. Our weapons, we don't war against flesh and blood. We have our weaponry, is the weaponry of prayer for the tearing down of the strongholds of the enemy, that our eyes and our faith may be alive and awakened to the fact that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And he says that he saw the whole mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elijah prayed. There he is. I think he was a man of prayer. Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Amen. Back to Romans 15. God wants you to know today, And Paul needed to be reminded himself, pray that I be delivered from these guys. That I be delivered from them. Not just the physical stuff, but sometimes it's what people say about you that's more damaging than maybe the physical attacks. Pray that I be delivered from discouragement and depression. Delivered from my enemies. That I don't walk around acting like a victim, but I know that I'm a victor through faith in Christ. Amen? So there's prayer for deliverance, but there's prayer also for, Paul requested prayer also for his service. In verse 31, the latter part, he says, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. My service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Now, again, this to me is very interesting. This is a prayer request. My deliverance, and I'm praying for my service. Again, there's no arrogance found here. There's no pride found here. Like, well, I know what I'm doing. I've done this before, you know. But he still had this spirit of humility and receptivity to the Lord and saying, you know what? I can still learn some stuff. You know, is God speaking to my heart? I mean, it's easy to come to a service and listen to the pastor and sit there and to be a critic. But what is God saying to you? What is God speaking to your heart? Paul still had a heart of humility, even though God used him mightily to perform great miracles and to write most of the New Testament. And yet he's saying, listen, I need prayer for my service. I've done this stuff before, but I still need God's help. A great lesson there for us. Again, I want you to hear this. It's so important for us, if we're going to serve the Lord, to serve the Lord in a way that we reverence and acknowledge the fact that, Lord, I can't do whatever I'm doing, no matter how small it is, without you. In order for our service to be acceptable, it must be offered in prayer, I believe. And I think this is the precedent that Paul is setting here. You know, Paul resisted the attitude of self-sufficiency that I don't need the Lord, I can do this myself. He said, Lord, I need you. Even though I know what I'm doing and I've done this stuff before, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Did Jesus not tell us that? Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's not by might or power, the Bible says, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So Paul was totally dependent upon that, and he needed their prayers that his service might be acceptable to the saints in Jerusalem. You see, we should never serve the Lord. I don't care if it's handing out a bulletin. I don't care if it's making coffee in the cafe or if it's changing a diaper in the nursery or directing the traffic out there in the parking lot, keeping people from killing each other and all. Whatever that ministry we're offering to the Lord, don't just ever walk into this church and go, well, I know what I'm doing. Give me my badge and I'm out here and just doing my thing. Everything we do ought to be first offered up to God with prayer.
You're listening to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. This broadcast originates at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. We hope you were blessed by today's study in the awesome book of Romans. And if you were, we'd love to hear about it. Email Pastor Al at amen@cwccs.org. That's amen@cwccs.org. And include a prayer request if you'd like to. And you can listen to Pastor Al in the Dwelling Place on all Alexa-enabled and Google Home devices. Simply search for oneplace.com in the skills section of the Alexa app on your phone and hit the enable button. Now you say, Alexa, ask OnePlace to play The Dwelling Place. Or on Google Home devices, say, hey Google, ask OnePlace to play The Dwelling Place. We have some exciting news to share. We have officially launched our new podcast called Uncuffed. You can find our Uncuffed podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. So make sure you subscribe to the Uncuffed podcast today. If you've been blessed as you've studied along with us, perhaps you'd like to help support the ministry. We'd be so encouraged if you would. And you can donate online at cwccs.org or text the word give to 719-354-2778. Our address is Calvary Worship Center, 505 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. If you missed any of that, it's all available at cwccs.org. If you're in the area and looking for a church home, stop by on a weekend to Calvary Worship Center and be sure to introduce yourself as a radio listener. Join us at our Westside campus or our Creekside campus. You can find service times and directions for both on our website at cwccs.org. And then, join us next time for The Dwelling Place, when we'll again open the book of Romans with Pastor Al Pittman. Until then, may God bless you mightily as you dwell in His magnificent love. Dwelling Place.